Well, if you have your Bible with you tonight, I hope you do, turn with me to Ruth chapter 3. God moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. Where is that found in the Bible? You're right, it isn't. But a lot of people think it is. But it is found. It is one of the hymns written by William Cooper. And it expresses truth, tremendous truth. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. You fearful saints, fresh courage take, the clouds you so much dread, are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. I think in some respects, this could be the theme song for the book of Ruth. Because what we find here is the opening chapters, a man named Elimelech with his wife Naomi and their sons make their way to Moab because there's a famine in the land rather. And so they go because they hear there's food in Moab. While they're there though, Elimelech dies, and also the two sons, after taking Moabite wives, they also die. And so we find Naomi returning to her home, Bethlehem, the house of bread, which I think is interesting in its name. But she's not happy. In fact, she says when she returns, because people call her Naomi, she says, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara," which means bitter. But what we see is that God is not absent. He does work, he is working in a mysterious way. And tonight, in chapter 3, we find that the three main characters in this book, Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz, are all faced with a challenge, a fate, really. The title on your order of service is Holy Hope. Really, it should be more acting in faith. Because they are challenged to act in faith, and we're going to see tonight how they responded, how they did indeed act. So if you will follow with me as I read, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 3 and reading through the entire chapter. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, that is Ruth's mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative? With whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And she replied, "All that you say, will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings, or your garments," some translations say, "over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask for. For all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer. Yet there is a Redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight and in the morning. If he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning. So she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. And he said, bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out. So she held it. And he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, how did you fare, my daughter? Then she told her all the man had done for her, saying, these 6 measures of barley he gave me, for he said to me, you must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law. She replied, wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out. For the man will not rest, but will settle the matter. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask that you would, in this brief time of devotion, see examples for us, be encouraged by the faith of the woman in Ruth, Boaz, and also, Father, see how you work in mysterious ways. May it encourage us to trust you during our times where there are dark clouds, during our times when circumstances are perhaps not to our liking. Lord, we pray that the result of our time in your word would be that we would be able to trust in you, even for your glory. In Jesus' name. 3 things that I want us to see here in what I have entitled Acting in Faith. The first thing is that Naomi planned strategically. She was strategic in her plan for her daughter-in-law, Ruth. Secondly, we see that Ruth obeyed courageously. And then thirdly, we see that Boaz acted and responded righteously. First of all, notice that Naomi planned strategically. Verse 1. Now Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, should I not seek rest for you that it may be well with you? Again, just to kind of recap the situation. Naomi, I've already said, was kind of let down, disappointed, putting it mildly, because of her circumstances. She comes back to Bethlehem. Ruth volunteers to go out because God in his word has made provision for the poor, for the widow, for the needy. Whenever people were to reap their harvest, reap their fields, they were not to reap to the corners. And if, when they were reaping, things fell on the ground, they were to leave it for the poor, for the widows, for those who were needy. God, this was a, if you will, kind of a welfare provision for the people. They had to work for it, but the provision was made for them. So Ruth volunteers to go out. She happens to go out into the field of this man she discovers is Boaz. And Naomi recognizes him. He is a near kinsman, a near relative. What is called a kinsman redeemer. Now, in the Old Testament, the idea that the kinsman redeemer was someone who was a close relative who had the ability to, when someone perhaps had to sell their property in order to live, they were indebted. The kinsman redeemer could purchase it back so that the land would stay in the family, would remain among the family. But then you have another Old Testament practice, law. It's called levirate marriage, from the word that means brother. And what happened here was, if a man died and had no children, his brother was obligated to take his wife and have children by her so that this first husband's brother's name could be carried on. And what we have here is kind of a combination of these two things. So Naomi, recognizing that Boaz has the potential, he is a kinsman redeemer, and he has the potential to be a husband for Ruth, she makes a plan. Now, Naomi realizes that she needs to act quickly because the barley harvest is coming to an end. season for harvesting had come to an end. That is what put Ruth and Boaz together. Well, this is coming to an end. The opportunity for them to see each other on a regular basis is just about over. So she acts quickly as well as strategically. And another thing is that Boaz has done nothing to move things forward. And he's been kind to Ruth, but he has not shown any initiative to try to make headway with Ruth, you know, to indicate that he's interested in her. Now, there is evidently a pretty sizable age gap, and even in chapter 3, we see that he commends her because she hasn't gone after these younger and more available young men. So perhaps he's restrained by that. But Naomi's not leaving anything to chance. So she acts strategically. You notice what she says. There are four things that she tells Ruth to do. First of all, make yourself attractive. All right? She says here in verse 3, wash therefore and anoint yourself and put on your clothes and go down to the threshing floor. Make yourself attractive. You know, that doesn't hurt. Secondly, make yourself attentive. Be attentive to where he is going to sleep. He will not sleep with the rest of the workers. He is the boss. He'll have a special place. So be attentive to where he is lying down. Thirdly, be assertive. You take initiative. You go in, you uncover his feet. And that's just kind of, that was the culture. That was a cultural thing to do in that situation. Uncover his feet and lie down at his feet. Sounds very strange to us. But it was not that strange in that situation in those days. Be attractive, make yourself attractive, be attentive, be assertive, and finally, be available. Let him know why you are there. She says here, when he lies down, observe the place where he lies, then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. Make yourself attractive, attentive, assertive, and available. We believe that God has a purpose and plan for us. We believe that in one sense, God doesn't really need our help in order to accomplish his purposes. And yet, God, we see example after example in scripture of people being strategic in accomplishing things that the Lord wanted done. We see it in the New Testament. We see it in the Apostle Paul and the apostles when they went out to evangelize. They weren't haphazard. They were wise. My point is this. We want to trust the Lord completely. We should never depend on our ability, our skill, our wisdom, our intelligence. However, not depending on those things doesn't mean we don't need them. Not depending on intelligence or skill or strategy doesn't mean we don't use those. Jesus said, although different context, but still the principle it fits, be wise as servants, honest as servants. We need to be wise. We need, as the Apostle Paul says, we need the Lord to give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, but also in how we ought to act. Naomi acted strategically, or planned strategically. Secondly, we see that Ruth obeyed courageously. It's amazing, her response. Very simple. Verse 5, she says, all that you say. You don't like to have kids like that. All that you say, I will do. Boy, wouldn't that be a change? Anyway, keep in mind a few things. First of all, her situation. She was a woman. It's pretty much unheard of for a woman to take the initiative in pursuing a marriage relationship. And that just didn't, it just wasn't done. And so for her to say, okay, I'll do what you say, took a lot of her. Not only that, she was putting herself in a potentially compromising situation. She was going at night to a man to whom she was not immediately related, not her husband, was not an immediate family member, and she was going to have close personal contact with him. Boy, talk about a compromising situation. Thirdly, although Boaz had done nothing but show kindness to Ruth, for those of you perhaps who have not been with us, Boaz was exceedingly kind, went well beyond what the law required. And whenever Ruth was in his field, gleaning, he let her eat from his own table. Boaz had done nothing but show kindness. He was still a man she didn't really know. This was still a time in Israel's history when things were pretty lost. It's interesting that the writer points out that these events occur during the time when the judges were. You know what time the life when the judges were? Read through the book of Judges, you'll find out. It wasn't just a cycle of sin and judgment and God delivering the people when they cried out. There are some pretty horrible place. It's one of the reasons why Naomi told Ruth, in chapter two, Naomi was so emphatic that Ruth stayed close to Boaz's servants, and especially serving girls, because it was not safe. For women, especially single women. So, although Boaz had done nothing but show kindness to Ruth, this is still a pretty lawless period in Israel. And on top of that, Boaz himself. Verse 7 says, "And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the Hebrew bridge. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down." Now, a little bit of reading between the lines. Maybe he was just happy because it was the end of the barley season. But he had been eating and drinking and his heart was merry. It sounds like maybe he was happy from the drink. So, who knows how a man's going to act, or anyone, when he's had maybe too much to drink. Or maybe not too much, just enough to put him over the edge. Anyhow, she's going into the situation. She didn't know this. That's why I say she obeyed courageously. We see her situation, but then we also see her solution. In spite of the risk, what she said, all that you say, I will do. And she did it. She did it. She is trusting that Naomi's plan will lead to success. She is trusting in Naomi, but I think also she's trusting in the Lord. She is trusting that God will watch over her. She's not irresponsible. She's not presumptuous. She's submissive to her mother-in-law. But she's also trusting in the Lord. Have you ever been in a situation where in order for you to obey what you knew you ought to do, whether it be parent, boss, just God's word, seems a little risky. You took a little courage to do that? If you haven't, then you probably have not been obedient. to God's work. Because God calls us to do a lot of things that require courage. Risk the weird to do it because we trust Him. Last thing is Boaz's response. Boaz responded. You know, just like you would expect. In spite of the fact that in spite of the age and the way many others. Notice what happens. At midnight, verse 8, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, and she answered, I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, your redeemer. Now, as I mentioned when I was reading this, some translations may say your garment, because the word there is a word that can be translated wings, but it can also refer to a garment. It's the word used earlier when Ruth is commended for trusting under the wings of the Lord. And so some versions translate it wings here. And the idea is that she's asking for his protection. And he said, may you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, and that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. Now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask. For all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. You see, first of all, Boaz's promise. Boaz says, I will do what you said. But then notice verse 13. Remain tonight and in the morning, verse 12. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. If he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning. Boaz is promising not only to do what she says, but he realizes there is a kinsman, a relative, who's even closer to the family than he is, who has, excuse my vernacular, first dibs, alright? First rights in this situation. And so he says, okay, I'll go to him. If he'll redeem you, then good. It's good for you. But if not, then I will. He promises to take care of that, to do what she's asked him to do. But not only do we see his promise, we see his protection. Verse 14. So she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he, Boaz, said, let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. Who did he say that to? Certainly not to Ruth. Evidently, there was someone there, a servant perhaps, close. He's saying, don't tell anybody this, all right? We want to protect her reputation. Nothing's happened. So, not only does he promise, he protects her reputation. He's been nothing but above board and upright in his dealings. And then we also see his provision, verse 15. And he said, bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out. So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went into the city. He didn't send her away empty-handed. He knew her need and the need of her mother-in-law, and so he provided, again, abundantly for her. Now, when we get to chapter 4, we'll see how the Lord honors for his righteous response to her. In case you don't, turn back. We know how the story turns out. You know anything about it? Not only for Naomi and Ruth and Boaz, but also for Israel and for us. So we know that Ruth became one of the ancestors of who? You know, they didn't have this written when they were going. All they knew to do was to honor the Lord, do the right thing. That's all they knew. Just do the right thing at the right time. Trust the Lord that He and His providence will honor the Lord. We don't often know exactly how our story will turn. All we can do is trust the Lord and do the right thing. Be obedient. The thing that demonstrates trust at the time. Because of God's love for us in Christ, we can have confidence. And He causes all things to work together. Those who love Him are called. We are not called to see the end from the beginning or the end from the middle. We're not called to understand it all. We're called to trust Him. Do the right thing in obedience to Him.